Welcome back to the Everything Elim podcast, where we talk about life at our beautiful senior living community in Cheshire, Connecticut. Join us to discuss all things wellness, family, faith, lifelong learning, and stay in the know of all things Elim Park has to offer. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Everything Elim podcast, and happy Easter. Today, we have a very special Easter message from Pastor Tim Olson, who is our Director of Christian Ministries here. So I will let him go ahead and introduce himself.
Well, thank you, Lauren. Yes, I've been in Connecticut since 1998. I was a pastor in a church in Thomaston with the Evangelical Covenant Church for 23 years, and just a little over 2 years ago, moved to Elim Park. And I love my work here and just glad to be with you today.
Thank you for coming on.
All right. Well, I have a little message. The resurrection of our Lord is celebrated this Sunday, or we call it Easter. I mean, we have forever. I mean, it's Easter. Where does that come from? Well, it's actually the name of a pagan goddess, of all things. In English-speaking countries and in Germany, they celebrated a spring and renewal about this goddess. And following the advent of Christianity, though, Easter was placed with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's kind of different. What had happened over the years is that when there were pagan festivals, the church would put prominent feast days, you know, Easter or Christmas on those days just to kind of have something more positive. Like Christmas is celebrated in December around the winter solstice because there was a celebration of darkness. And, you know, it's the shortest days in December. So Christmas was put there to celebrate the birth of Christ, the light of the world. So I love that. But what does Easter mean, you know, for me? I was reflecting on that. You know, as a kid, I loved Easter. I mean, who didn't love Easter? Even as a real young boy, I dressed up in a suit and tie or bow tie and probably had patent leather shoes. And my sisters had the Easter bonnets, and we did all that. Went to church, of course. Went out to eat afterwards or to a relative's home. It was a grand celebration. But Easter morning, that was the thing. It was for me as a kid, my kids when they were little, my grandkids, they're learning some of these traditions. We would have our Easter egg hunt. I mean, we actually boiled eggs and we colored them, you know, days before Easter. And then my mom and dad would hide them along with maybe a jelly bean path. And there'd be baskets hidden with lots of goodies. And of course, one big chocolate bunny for each of us. But this sounds so non-religious. And it is. It was. It is. I don't think Easter or the resurrection took on the most important meaning for me until I got into college. I lived on the north side of Chicago. I went to college on the south side, so it wasn't far from home. But my first year, I bottomed out. I was majoring in fraternity sports and other things, and my grades were awful. My first semester, I had a whopping 1.928 GPA. I think that's a D+. So, I was miserable. So I had a come to Jesus moment. I called my dad. He was in the city. So we had breakfast and we shared together. He helped me adjust my priorities. He prayed for me. We talked about the Lord, you know, trusting the Lord and doing what's right. So I got on the right path. And that summer, a high school friend came back from the Army and he was a born again Christian. He had totally changed. You could see it in his countenance. My friend Dave, he grew up with the same focus on Easter. You know, you do the Easter thing, you go to church, and it was a different denomination, but we kind of just did the same thing. But he shared his testimony while at the Army with me, with my mom, my older sister. I was blown away. And we talked about how he was born again, how he was saved, how he was delivered from a life of substance abuse. He had really headed down a darker path with that. But now he was free. And he had memorized so much scripture. You know, he never knew that as a kid. I knew him growing up. And he was sharing with my mom and I. And it was clear that he, in his own words, he was a new creation. He was a new creature in Christ because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. I wanted that also. He suggested, well, okay, go to this church, get involved in Bible study, and, you know, why don't you get baptized, get immersed, you know, get baptized. So I did all that, and I began experiencing this new life, this, you know, resurrection life. I was discipled, you know, spent time with individuals in a small group in the scripture and learning, and then I was newly committed to following Christ. I wanted to follow Christ. And I was on fire for the Lord. You know, it was the summertime before the next fall when reality was going to hit, going back to school. I was living in a fraternity with 60 other guys. You know, in that fall, they knew that Olson, or they called me Ole, that was from high school nickname, they knew that I had changed. Something was different, and I let them all know why. And sometimes I was a little bit too fiery, I think, but I was excited. I was a changed man. And I even felt God call me to ministry, you know, at that point to work with youth. That came at that time of my life, so I began pursuing that. But the resurrection, it has real and life-transforming meaning. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, not just for me, but for all believers, for all who believe in Christ. And there's just three keys I'd like to share with you. The first key is this, that because of Christ's death and resurrection, Jesus overcame the power of sin, death, and the devil. The Bible tells us that Jesus, he bore our sin on the cross. Isaiah says he carried our sorrows too. Our shame and our guilt were put on him. Our infirmities, you know, sickness and disease were on him as well. Once he was crucified, our debt of sin was paid. But also it says, by his wounds, we are healed. I mean, that's amazing. It's a completed and finished work. By his wounds, we are healed. And this is a spiritual reality. It's already there. There was an old film that I relate to, you know, this time of year, you know, Easter, Holy Week. When I was a kid, and I was thinking about it actually last night, what's the name of that film? I think Charlton Heston was in it. You know, I know he was in the Ten Commandments, but the film I was thinking of was around the time of Christ and around his death in particular. And it came to me, the movie was Ben-Hur. And, you know, a story of something that could have happened around the time of Christ. But there was a leprous colony, people that had contracted leprosy. And when you have that, you have to get out of town. They put you in caves. You have to stay away. And there was a small group of people. And the main character, Charlton Heston, I think his sister and maybe some other loved ones were part of that colony. And all of a sudden, there was this entourage of people, and they were going up to a hill called Calvary, and they could see what's happening from a distance because they were out in the boonies a bit. And they were peering and watching, and it was the crucifixion of Christ. But something powerful happened in that movie that stuck with me. That once he was crucified, all of a sudden something miraculous happened for those in that leprous colony. You know, you could see the leprosy on them, and immediately they were healed. It was like, wow, as a kid, I was blown away. But now I know what that means. By his wounds, we are healed. You know, the power of the resurrection, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, and by putting our faith in Jesus or on Jesus, what he accomplished for us, we receive forgiveness, eternal life. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? We can claim our healing. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. The second key is part of this, and something that I saw in my friend when he came and testified to me that summer. We are a new creation. We are a new creation. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. So we have the Spirit of Jesus, or that's the Holy Spirit, living in us by faith. We become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And in our spirit, you know, we are spirit, soul, and body. In our spirit, we were made whole and complete, healed and transformed. One scripture says that in this world, we are as Jesus is. That's amazing. That's powerful. All this being said, it doesn't mean our physical body or our soul, mainly our mind, are automatically affected by our spirit and this healing. You know, something else has to happen. We know that we fall short. We sin in our thoughts, our deeds, our actions every day. We have physical problems. You know, we get infections or viruses or, you know, everything. But faith becomes like a bridge to bring healing and transformation to our body and mind from our spirit, from that spiritual reality of healing. You know, we need time spent in prayer, meditating on key scriptures. You know, who does God say that I am because of Jesus? Can you answer that? Well, I'll mention a few things, but there's scripture to support this and meditating on those things. It's our identity in Christ. You know, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. That's something good to pray and claim. I've also been raised with Christ, seated with him in the heavenly realms. You know, given his power, his authority, a position above the problems in the world. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. I'm a co-heir with Christ. All these qualities are based on scripture. And God has promised in the Bible, Jeremiah 31:17, to restore our health and heal our wounds. We can claim that for ourselves and for others, and it's powerful. Another one, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in believers. We can pray that in faith. And praying these scriptures, it gives us the mindset to experience the fullness of the Spirit. And from that place, healing is released in us and even to others. I know that God has healed me many times. I like what one resident here at Elam Park said. She said this not too long ago. She's a strong believer. She told me, oh, I'm a quick healer. That is great faith. God has healed my children, my grandchildren as well. At times, it's amazing. I've been delivered and freed from unforgiveness, and that's a huge thing. You ever been in that position where you just could not forgive someone? You know, sometimes it spikes up a little bit, but I've forgiven that person a long time ago, and sometimes it might come up, but no, I feel like I am freed from that. The Lord desires to heal our broken relationships, beginning with us first. You know, this is what the resurrection is all about, bringing people back together. You know, forgiving others, releasing them to God, praying for them. You know, if we're not praying for those who have hurt us, you know, hear me well, then we have not forgiven them. And maybe you don't want to forgive them, but God says, forgive and you will be forgiven. If we don't forgive, we are not forgiven. So it's good for us to take our own responsibility. The last key, the resurrection, is the fruit that comes. I've spoken of some of that, but we think of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, godliness, self-control. But love has to be the most important fruit of the Spirit, one of the most important benefits of Easter. Experiencing the love of God. When we believed it couldn't be possible that we could be loved, or based on things that we had done or not done, or how we felt about ourselves, our failures, our sins, our shortcomings. It doesn't matter. God is love. There is nothing more powerful than to know and experience you are loved unconditionally. God loves you. And even at our worst, and I have had times like that, it's amazing to know that God still loved me the same. In those moments, my most you know, the things I want to forget. That's amazing. God loves you. In Isaiah, God says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." I mean, that's incredible. For some people to hear that, you know, no one's called them their own. That's amazing. It's wonderful. And, you know, maybe someone is listening who doubts God's love, even the fact that he would sacrifice his own son for you. But God created you in his image and likeness. He has a plan and purpose for your life. You know, maybe someone listening was close to the Lord before, but something has changed in your relationship with God. Maybe you've done some things you're not proud of, or there's a failure, or, you know, some tragedy in your family and life. That happens. I'm sorry about that. Or some other brokenness. God wants to restore you and your relationship with him. You know, even Peter, that rock-solid disciple who was part of Christ's inner circle, he denied even knowing Jesus publicly. It was out of fear, out of desperation. He ran away and he just wept over his failure. But following the resurrection, there was a scene on a beach. The disciples had been fishing all night, caught nothing. Jesus said from the shore, "Hey, throw it on the other side of the boat." They did, and they caught a multitude of fish, like before, earlier, 3 years earlier. And they had a shore breakfast that Jesus prepared for them. And Peter was still smarting from having denied his Lord. And Jesus met him on the shore, pulled him away from the others. You know, he knew Peter's heart. He knew what Peter did. He knew there was so much potential in him. Jesus wanted to have Peter close to him again. So he asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Yeah, that's all that mattered. Do you love me, Peter? And I want us to think about all that Jesus did for us. Because God so loved us. God so loved you that Jesus died for you, your sins, your guilt, shame, infirmities. He defeated the powers of sin, death, and the devil. He defeated death on the cross. He rose again in victory. There's just one question. Do you love Jesus? Do you want to love him more and more? Believe today in him, and he will bring resurrection power, restoration, you know, forgiveness to you and your relationships. He will give you abundant life. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your wonderful love for us. Thank you for this time of year to journey. You know, it's a pathway to the cross. It's not just from Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday. There's a whole week in between. Thank you for what you endured for me, for us, Lord. And because of your death and because of your resurrection, believing in you, there's newness of life, eternal life. There's so much that you offer us. I pray for those listening today, that even if it's just one who might trust you today, say, "Yes, Jesus, I love you. I want to know you more. I believe in you. Help me grow and learn and understand." But bless the listeners today. Bless them indeed. Show them how much you love them, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed Easter and Resurrection Sunday.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Pastor Tim, and for that beautiful message. We wish everybody a happy Easter, and we hope to have you back for the next episode.